Ed, let's talk a little bit about this oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. Have you or your group looked at this? I mean, what kind of a problem is going on down there?
I didn't look at the current problem. I looked at an effect of I used remote viewing to look ahead in terms of connectivity to some effects. And they're big. They're very big in terms of socioeconomic things. There is going to have to be an evacuation as sorts, and it'll probably set the stage for at least a minimum degree of martial law akin to the unannounced martial law that Katrina announced. But mm-hmm. we're talking something between Katrina and Chernobyl and its effects. The one thing that is not coming out and should be stressed, and what remote viewing has pointed out to me, is that one of the reasons why this is going to result in spots of no man's land in the U.S. Gulf area is because of the virtual long-term poisoning of water supplies. Not just desalinization plants, but aquifers and reservoirs will be very much poisoned when hurricanes carry all those petrochemicals in and poison water bodies. And those, you can't clean that up, George, with traditional water purification methods. And that's what will really eventuate in humans having to move away.
That is so sad.
It's very it's a disaster as far as the U.S. is concerned. I can't think of many other but disasters that equate to this.
I thought of you a few weeks ago when this Jordan van der Sloot case popped up in Peru, where he's accused of killing another woman. They were not able to charge him get any kind of convictions at all in the Natalie Holloway case, but I thought about you on that, where you believe that she was dumped in the ocean, right, in some kind
of... Yeah, that was a very difficult case for us. I don't want to talk too much about our operations. I certainly can't talk about my man underwater there, but I sent my primary, a field agent. He was underwater. I think you've seen the photos we took of the area. But we did not want to work with the local police because we don't trust. We're overseas and we don't trust local police. And I believe that even attempting to coordinate our activities with them would endanger my agent on the ground. So I used the old spy stuff and we snooped and pooped around on the water trying to find her. But late after that, we remote viewed her skull because you have to have really a skull to know as evidence. And that was way out in the ocean, so we gave up.
And this guy's, he's whacked out.
Yeah, to say the least.
Truly. I want to get into the kill shot a little bit later on because mm-hmm. that's a big story. But your thoughts on the Iranian situation? Do you see anything there?
The war is a fait accompli. I've said that before. There's no way but that the Israelis are not going to attack. They are. But the U.S. will get involved surreptitiously because I will tell you right now, our economy, and we'll talk about the economy momentarily mm-hmm. or at least sometime tonight, the only way we can survive partially is another war, and our commander-in-chief knows that. And we need to gear up that military-industrial complex, hire some people to make some more bullets and missiles, and we can survive a little bit longer as a country before we're finally unequivocally bankrupt. So that's one of the reasons behind, of course, our participation or that I'm suggesting is going to happen in the Israeli-Iranian war.
Of course, you're a remote viewer, but how much of what you do is also common sense, Ed? I mean, because you are perceptive and you look at events as well. Does that factor into what you do?
It does to a certain extent because I used to pride myself on being an analyst, you know, at celestial levels of intelligence and all that. But what I've learned in the last 25 years about my higher mind, my superconscious, it always says, watch out, you know, because if you go into a problem with preconceived notions, almost you're always wrong. We're so fallible as humans, as our egoic minds. And I've come to really trust my complement of being this higher mind of my own. So I listen to it, and I always double check with it to see if my egoic mind is on the right track. I don't try to second guess.
No, you can't. You can't. So there's that, and I would agree with you. This Iranian situation is going to go. North Korea, I'm not sure. I mean, you still had felt that North Korea might use a nuke somewhere.
Remember now, in 1994, this is where we first came up with that information using the search terms that we use in our own skill of the next use of a nuclear weapon in anger with mass casualties qualified with those qualifications, and that pointed to the Korean Peninsula. Well, no, there hasn't been a weapon used in anger yet, right?
Right.
And hopefully there never will be. But as far as remote viewers are concerned, the next one is still the next one, and that's going to be on the Korean Peninsula. What I think will happen, and this is a thought now because things are happening so fast, the confluence of events worldwide, the chaos is growing, and it's even difficult for remote viewers to keep track of what's going on. I certainly can't. But what I think might happen is what will go down is this. Once we become ensconced in an Iranian battle, tangentially or otherwise, the North Koreans will use that to their advantage and start something on the Korean Peninsula. Because they know we will be so overextended, there is no way we could possibly even participate more than a week or two or a week and a half militarily and financially and even with armaments in a war there. And they'll use that to squeeze us and squeeze the rest of the world.
There have been some internet rumors, Ed, that North Korea blew up that oil pipeline in the Gulf of Mexico.
Negative, George. I did look at that to see if there was any untoward behavior on the part of anybody. Negative. It was pure and simple an accident. As you and the public now know, BP cut costs, not just BP, but the contractors cut costs to save money, and there was a price to be paid for that. That plus the unknowns of that kind of pressure and that kind of oil. Now, that oil is not going to stop flowing. It's going to be a long, long time before that flow diminishes, and that will darken the Gulf of Mexico, and it will be a dead zone. But unfortunately, so will the littoral zones and the marshes. And inland, once the hurricane season starts, as I mentioned, all those aquifers, all that fresh water will be poisoned.
God, that is sad.
Very sad. Economically, it will be an extreme disaster. But socially, it will be extreme disaster, too. And it will be set the stage for martial law.
Let's talk about the economy. What do you see?
Well, as I mentioned 10 years ago on Coast to Coast, gold's going to go up to $2,000 an ounce, and that was when gold was $230 an ounce, and people laughed at me. And well, it's going to hit $1,450 this week. It'll be $2,000 in about 2 months, and it'll probably hit when wars start. It'll probably go upwards of $3,500 to $5,000 for a while, before it drops back down to about $3,500 minimum. So that's a measure, a good standard, a sliding standard of how things are going to be out there. There's no recovery, and there's not going to be. It's the end of an era. It's the end of a dynasty. We were in the fast lane as a country for more than 225 years. It was a great ride. It's over. All things have a beginning and end. And the Roman Empire was replaced, as well as other empires. Our empire is about ready to end in throes, fits and throes.